From the heartland of America, focused on God, family, and country, the mouthpiece of the Midwest, this is Dale Carter's America.
With Kurt Wheeler, I'm Dale Carter, back for another episode of Dale Carter's America, the podcast. We appreciate you being on board as we're trying to set the record straight for this country, asking the right questions, not just the same stuff that you get from the media, and telling the truth, which I think is important, and we're going to get to a lot of that coming up here. There are many ways that you can be on board with Dale Carter's America. Some of you may be listening to audio only on Anchor or anywhere else you're getting podcasts, but we have a video version as well that has clips occasionally. I don't know if we're going to do a whole bunch of those today, but you should get on YouTube and Rumble, and make sure that you subscribe so that it populates automatically when you get a new episode, so that you're always in touch, always finding out the truth, at least from our perspective. You know, I know truth is kind of a relative thing, but we try and tell the truth and on both sides of the aisle. So we're going to do some of that a little bit later on as well. Bob Watson, State Farm agent for 5 decades. He is one of our sponsors here at Dale Carter's America. He's at 7th and Main in Blue Springs. Auto Home Life, 816-229-7878. Especially as we're going into Halloween. It's Halloween week. Make sure you've got that house fully insured. And Bob will give you an insurance checkup and find out. Let's check the rates on stuff. State Farm's got surprisingly great rates, not just fun, cool television commercials. Bob Watson is your local State Farm agent with a great team on his side who will be there to help you. 816-229-7878, Bob Watson, State Farm Insurance. We have a lot that we're going to get to today that involves politics, but with what happened in the state of Maine, we thought it would be important today to bring in a special guest. And we are joined now by special guest Herb Butzbach. I said that right?
Got it.
From Clay Como Shooters. They are one of our sponsors here on Dale Carter's America, and they're ready to help you. If you're in, you know, you want to exercise your Second Amendment rights, they are the folks to get it done with. And when we did our live event at Funhouse Pizza, about half the hands in the audience went up. So we're sending some customers your way.
We appreciate it.
Yeah. And if you want to read all about Clay Como Shooters, you can do it online at claycomoshooters.com. They've got a great location that's right there in Clay Como between I-35 and I-435. And maybe you saw our episode where Kurt and I went to the range. And will you please confirm for everyone, Herb, that I was the better shot?
You schooled Kurt, yes.
Oh, thank you. We have you in studio today because of what happened in Lewiston, Maine. And ironically, I went on vacation this summer up to Maine, and I drove right through the town of Lewiston, so I know exactly where it is. So it gave me a little bit of a chill, you know, when I saw it on the news. But what happened, if you haven't heard, a guy walked into a bar and a bowling alley, and he started shooting. He killed 18 people, and then there was a manhunt to find him, and ultimately he took his own life. But it brings up a lot of questions and a lot of the same tired stuff that we hear out of the media over and over and over again. First of all, Herb, they were searching for a narrative that fits. I'll never forget the initial reports. Well, it doesn't appear to be a hate crime. I mean, it's like they've got to get into their file folder box and figure out which hole it fits in.
Exactly right.
Yeah. And the hole that it fit in, I guess the guy was an Army reservist, right?
That is correct.
So that might bring some different aspects to it that we can talk about here. But the one that always gets me, and you know I'm kind of a novice in this area. My stepdad was a cop, so I grew up around guns all the time. But I'm still a novice in that area, and I admit that I'm a novice in that area. But one thing that I do know is when the media wrings their hands and it's like, oh, it was a semi-automatic weapon. Aren't they all?
Yes. You know, they classify it as an assault weapon, which it is not an assault weapon.
Yeah. The weapons of war. Correct. That's when they wring their hands and they're like, well, you shouldn't have these kinds of things. And I think back to, you know, little 22s. I mean, little 22s are semi-automatic.
Correct.
What's an example of one that's not a semi-automatic?
Anything bolt action.
So the old, like, World War One rifle where you had...
Right. Way back. Yeah, World War One.
Yeah. And then the Revolutionary War, the musket balls, they weren't semi-automatic.
Black powder, yep.
Yeah. So essentially, if you've got a gun and you've got, it's got a clip in it or whatever, and you pull a trigger, bang, and then you pull the trigger again, bang, that's a semi-automatic.
That's correct. Every movement of the trigger, it serves two functions. It loads itself, unloads itself, reloads itself with every pull of the trigger.
All right. And you were in the military.
Correct.
So what does that bring to the table? I mean, the guy was an Army reservist. Did he have access to better weapons because of that?
No, absolutely not. When you're in the military, if you are a gun toter, if you're in your MOS, whatever job field that you're in, you carry a weapon, you have access to that weapon, you check it in and check it out the start of your shift, the end of your shift. When I was in, I checked out a weapon every day. I had the same weapon day after day after day. I checked it in and checked it out, safe in, safe out. You can't take it home with you. You know, people think that you're in the military, you take your weapons home with you. You do not.
Yeah. Well, I know that police departments, because I was on the city council in Blue Springs for a while, they have a tactical force there, and it's the same deal. They've got to check out those weapons and then check them back in.
A little different in the police force. When I was on SWAT team with Platte County Sheriff's Department, we had issued weapons. We were responsible for them. But you're on call 24/7 at that point.
Ah, okay. Well, that's true. All right. So what we did see is Maine, which is like one of the safest states in the country, quote unquote, their residents ran to gun stores like yours and started buying in droves.
Sadly true. It's not a question of if, it's a question of when.
Yeah. So you train folks.
Every day.
Yeah. And I guess how often are you doing your classes?
Every day.
Oh, you do classes every day?
We do classes. We schedule about 19 to 20 classes a month, but we do private lessons every single day. And you come in and start with the basic lessons wherever your firearms journey. You know, if you're a beginner, intermediate, or advanced, we take you from that point forward. We focus on safety first, obviously, and then just take it from there.
Yeah. I was watching The Five after all of this, and I can't think of the guy's name. Pierce something or other. Kurt, do you know who I'm talking about?
Not Pierce Morgan, right?
Pierce Morgan, right.
He's not on The Five.
Yeah, he's on The Five once in a while.
Oh, okay.
He sits in the liberal.
Guest speaker.
Yeah. He was the guest guy on The Five.
Guest idiot.
And, you know, he's from the UK where they have very strict weapons. I mean, they got a complete ban on it. And he, in his very polite British way, says, you know, you've got a problem in this country. And I would grant you, because on the podcast, you know, Herb, we say we tell the truth, and we do tell the truth, right? We do have a problem in this country. The problem is mental health. And this guy in Lewiston apparently was identified by the military. They said, hey, we got a problem with this guy. That always happens after the fact. Somebody goes off the deep end and does something really stupid like this, and then they say, oh, yep, we saw the signs. Why the hell didn't you do anything?
Right, that's exactly right. No one followed up.
So what is the rational way forward here? I mean, you're a guy who sells guns. You train people how to use them. What is the rational way forward here?
Education. I mean, it has to start in the home as far as that goes.
Yeah. Where are you at on red flag laws? No right or wrong answer.
No, mixed. I mean, as long as the facts are there, I'm for it.
Yeah. Because, you know, that's the last thing I think we would want is for, you know, people who are unstable, mentally unstable,
right,
to have access to firearms and be able to do something like this.
And we sell guns every day, and that's the kind of stuff that I've trained my people to look for. We look for different signs. Any gun that you buy through a shop, and I don't know if all people know this, there's a federal background check that's done.
Right.
We look at that every single day.
And if you lie on that and you're a Democrat and your last name is Biden, it doesn't mean anything, right?
Exactly right.
But for most of us who would fill out something like that, it's important to tell the truth.
Most people like us, they put us under the jail for lying to that particular question.
Yeah. And then, you know, the other thing that you know, we talk about this because this was a mass shooting. There were 18 people who were killed in Maine. But my God, I mean, we live in Kansas City. Every day people are killing people. And they're not using rifles, right?
Every day.
Handguns are pretty much the...
Every day.
Yeah. And what are they doing about that? You know, of course, we on the podcast say that if somebody breaks the law with a gun, they probably ought to go to jail.
Agreed. It's not guns. It's the justice system.
Yeah, exactly. And I thought about this because if this guy, like there was a case like this in Wisconsin where a man drove his car through a parade and killed a whole bunch of people, right?
Yes.
we weren't hearing on the media, my God, we've got to get cars off the road because they're killing people with them. Okay. So it's the same thing with guns, I think.
Well, the car doesn't fit their agenda.
Exactly. All right. I'm so glad that we have you on the podcast. I truly am, because you are right where we are on stuff like this. I mean, is there anything, you know?
I've got a couple of things.
Okay, Kurt's got a couple of things.
So what is an assault weapon?
Assault weapon is a weapon that's capable of firing fully automatic, and it's issued only to the military. You and I cannot own such an animal. We have semi-automatic weapons like Dale and I talked to start with. It's one pull the trigger, one shot. Fully automatic weapons are military and or police.
So there is, you're saying there is such a real thing as an assault
weapon? Oh, no, absolutely. But assault weapon's a military weapon. You take which is called an M16. A version of that M16 is an AR-15. It's a sporting rifle. I own one. I use it to hunt pigs.
Does it make the bullet go faster because it's cosmetically, it looks like a military weapon?
No.
I'm just trying to figure out what their rationale. I know you got another question here, but Herb, how does it hit you when you hear the President of the United States say, we shouldn't have these weapons of war on the streets of the country, and if you really think the government's going to be a problem, well, you need to have an F-15.
Back to uneducated.
But he's an educated guy.
No, he's not.
All right, Kurt, next.
Well, that was my next question. I'm yelling so that I can get on the microphone, but what is a weapon of war?
An assault weapon.
So, my contention has always been that every weapon is a weapon of war. Like, they have knives. The military carries knives. They carry pistols. Isn't that a weapon of war? Like, when they say weapon of war, what are they trying to say?
I think, and I'm going to go back to the assault weapon. I think that they're thinking that it's something fully automatic and, you know, it's dangerous and et cetera, et cetera.
All right. Well, you know, we got Christmas coming up. I mean, do people look to, you know, firearms as a Christmas present?
Oh, absolutely. We sell quite a few gift certificates for, you know, people to come in. And
you got range memberships there too?
Range memberships, training, about 350 different firearms in stock.
And you work with law enforcement agencies too, right?
Yes.
Do you want to name any of those?
Sure. But Platte County comes in all the time. Okay. Pleasant Valley, Clay County. Clay Como, Smithville.
Yeah.
The great guys. We host a lot of our range time for the police office.
All right. Well, what they say at Clay Como Shooters is come train with us. They're at 69 Highway in Clay Como. The phone number is 816-452-4867. We call this an extended commercial, but we wanted to bring you in, Herb, because there's a lot of talk about guns because of this guy in Lewiston, Maine. And it's like, instead of wringing our hands and saying the same tried and true crap that they're saying on the media, we want to get the truth out there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And, you know, I know that a lot of our listeners and viewers on Dale Carter's America, they kind of agree with us, but there are some who kind of hate listen to us, and they're rolling their eyes right now going, oh, they just don't get it. It's kind of like next thing he's going to talk about is climate change and global warming. And yes, I am. That's ahead on the podcast.
Those are the guys that I want in the store.
See? Education.
The uneducated people come in. Hear it from us first.
All right. Just don't smell like marijuana when you come
Absolutely.
In.
Absolutely. We'll kick you out.
Sign on the door, which makes it very clear. Herb, thanks so much for being part of Dale Carter's America. And we'll be – anytime we've got an issue like this, we're going to bring you in. You're our expert.
Awesome. Thank you, Dale.
Yeah. Okay, bringing Kurt Wheeler back in to a microphone and a camera. One of these days, the budget is going to allow us to have like three cameras and three microphones. So until then, you know, Kurt is going to shout his questions, much like if he were in the White House press pool. That's how they do things there.
Yeah, I'm the Pete Ducey of the
Mr. President. I can't hear you.
I don't even know if there's room in this, if there's enough space in this room for three cameras and three microphones.
Well, we just have to get a bigger room. Remember, we started in the smallest room in the building.
Yeah, that's true.
And now we're in a little bit bigger room, and there are bigger rooms.
That's
so
true.
Maybe as the podcast expands, so will the footprint
of
Dale Carter's America. So, you know, I mean, you were here for the discussion with Herb about what happened in Lewiston, Maine. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think the mental illness angle, you know, is there for sure. I mean, it was clear that you know, there's been more information that's coming out about how much this guy was on the radar, you know, of the FBI or whatever, and other authorities. It's tough, you know, the red flag laws thing is pretty tough because it's, you know, our government is very corrupt and also stupid. So do we really want to give that much authority to people who are going to misuse it? I mean, we've seen already the two-tier justice system that we have in this country with people being essentially political prisoners, you know, for January 6th and other things, whereas, you know, other people are completely let off the hook. So I can imagine that there would be a similar sort of treatment if we were to institute red flag laws, even if it was for with good intention. You know, it's going to be abused and it's going to be politicized, and people who don't deserve to have their rights taken away are going to have their rights taken away. And is it worth doing that in order to save people's lives? I'm not sure. I mean, you know, if you asked Benjamin Franklin, he would say no. So that's a very tricky situation there. And then, you know, the gun thing, I think we explored that pretty well. But I mean, my main thing when I see stuff like this happen is, you know, just encouraging people to, again, be educated, but taking it a step further, you know, get your concealed carry permit and lawfully, you know, protect yourself and your family wherever possible, you know, and that up to and including training with a firearm, carrying a firearm, and being prepared for any situation. Yeah. And just situational awareness, man. I mean, all the crazy stuff going on in the world right now, I mean, it's like, maybe I'm paranoid, but like, you know, we were at a concert downtown last night, and I'm like walking up Grand Street towards T-Mobile Center. And I'm like looking around. I'm like, is there somebody walking behind me? Is there somebody walking on the other side of the street?
Head on a
what's
swivel.
Happening? Yeah. I mean, it's just, you know, being aware of what's happening. Cause it's like, you know, I think part of it is the news just over exaggerating things. We think, you know, we see one mass shooting on TV and then it's like, oh, it could happen at any time. You know, statistically it's not that likely, but,
no.
Just, you know, making sure that you're prepared is very important.
Statistically, I'm more likely to be shot at 2:30 in the morning in this parking garage here in Westport. And you talk about situational awareness. I drive in every morning with a head on a swivel, and I'm looking for anything that doesn't look right, anything that's moving. I get as close as I can to the door. Situational awareness again, head on a swivel, anybody behind me or beside me, and can I get to the door?
Yeah. And there's things that you can do, too, like that don't even require you to carry a firearm, you know, just like or training, you know, really. I mean, everyone should be trained in some capacity with a firearm or not, you know, maybe carry mace, maybe carry a knife, some stuff like that. But even aside from all that, like a big thing that I've started doing is whenever you're in a public place, like an event space or a restaurant or a movie theater, locate the exits. That's a huge one for me. Like,
true.
Locate the exits, know like where things are, where you're at in relation to, you know, places. So just something as simple as that, you know, can really kind of put you at ease and make a big difference.
Tell you something else that can put you at ease, and that is getting your colonoscopy. If you're 45 or older and you have not been screened for colon cancer yet, what are you waiting for? Because colon cancer, when it happens, if it sits there and festers and grows and grows and grows, it can get to a point where it will kill you. If we catch it early, you can make a tremendous difference. That's why you should get your colonoscopy. And that's why Midwest GI Health and Wellness is part of Dale Carter's America. Dr. Mark Taramina, great guy with a fantastic staff. They can take care of the upper GI as well. But definitely the colonoscopy. That is the focus of what we're talking about. And you got to get it. You know, it used to be 50 and older, but now colon cancer is going younger and younger. And how often do we hear stories of celebrities, young celebrities, who have died from something like colon cancer? Does not have to be a death sentence. Let's get it early. And the folks at Midwest GI Health and Wellness in Lee's Summit are ready to schedule you and get it done. They are at 816-836-2200. That's the phone number. They're on the web at MidwestGIHealth.com. If you're a little bit older and you've got somebody who's approaching 65, maybe you're approaching 65. This is the Medicare open enrollment period between now and December 7th, and Medicare Simplified KC can simplify Medicare. I mean, there are companies that are so well-named, Kurt, and this one is probably one of the best. The company name is Medicare Simplified KC. What would that tell you?
That they simplify Medicare.
And they're in KC.
Yes.
Yeah. See, it's all right there. Actually, they're in Independence, Missouri, but you can find them on the web at MedicareSimplifiedKC.com. They're at 3600 South Nolan Road, on the phone at 816-701-6661. And if you can't go to them, they'll go to you. And they'll help you navigate this Medicare thing. It's just crazy. Kirk Doris, Lori Hocker, they're doing a fantastic job helping you navigate the Medicare maze. And they don't get paid by you. They get paid by the insurance companies. So they're just there for your benefit to make sure you've got the right thing. MedicareSimplifiedKC.com. All right, politics American style. And both sides of the aisle. This is kind of just meandering all over the place, so just follow along here. Jump in when you've got a comment about it. But Mike Pence, a guy who from the day he announced for president, Kurt, you know, I was like, why? Why are you announcing for president? Well, he's dropped out. And it's like a tree falling over in the forest. Does anybody care? I don't think anybody cares. And he was a good governor of Indiana. He was a fine vice president. I thought during COVID, Trump used him very effectively, and he did a great job. But in running for president, he's running against his old boss. So is he saying that our administration was flawed and I've got a better idea? I think what he was doing was saying, hey, you know, the rational stuff that happened during the Trump administration, that was on me. The crazy stuff, that was on him. So you get everything that you got in the Trump administration without the clown show. I think that was his basis for running, and he just never got any traction.
Yeah, but I mean, he's the vice president, you know, and he's not very charismatic. You know
no, he's not. He's like wallpaper.
Yeah.
But he was a good congressman in Southern Indiana. He was not in my district when I lived in Southern Indiana. He was further east. But a great governor, two-term governor of the state of Indiana, and I think he did a good job as vice president. But he and Trump obviously had a falling out, and he was going to run. Now, will he endorse Trump? I doubt it.
No.
Yeah.
No. He'll probably back, you know, DeSantis or one of these other candidates. It's just like, why even run? I just don't understand it. Yeah. It's like you had to know you have no shot from the beginning. Why even run? Why waste your time and everyone and your donors' money? You know, and it's just like, all your staffers have to travel around with you and do all this stuff. It's like, you have no shot, dude. Just, like, don't even bother.
Well, there's the Trump lane and there's the not Trump lane. And right now, the not Trump lane, you know, has a little bit fewer names in it. Larry Elder also dropped out. I don't know that he was ever seriously in it. And it's, you know, if it came down to Trump DeSantis, I think that gives Republicans a legitimate choice. But right now, it's Trump and he's running away with it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think people probably also realize, like, the Mike Pences of the race realize that if they drop out, there's a better chance for it to be not Trump as the candidate. The more, you know, not Trump candidates there are, the further divided the not Trump vote is going to be in the primaries, and the less, you know, the more likely that Trump is going to be the nominee. So it's probably a strategic decision.
I find it hysterical that if you ask 100 people, probably 75 of them would say they do not want a Trump-Biden rematch. They don't want it. 75% of the country doesn't want it. But that's how it's trending. And that's what's probably going to happen. Unless Representative Dean Phillips, Democrat from Minnesota, can somehow wrench the nomination away from Joe Biden.
Who?
Exactly. Who are these people? Representative Dean Phillips, a Minnesota congressman, says he will challenge Joe Biden. He says somebody has to do it. I think he's an honest Democrat because he looks at this guy and says, there is no way. I don't even know that he's going to make it to the end of this first term, much less 4 more years. Think about that. 4 more years. For the guy that last week on the podcast, we showed a video on Air Force One, he was in a Snuggie. He was in a Snuggie and he was taking questions on the plane. So he is running. He will run in the New Hampshire primary. Joe Biden will not. You know, the deal that he made was that South Carolina was going to be the first shot that he was going to have at a primary. So he's not going to do the Iowa caucuses. He's not going to do the New Hampshire primary. And so the folks in New Hampshire, your choice will be Dean Phillips or who?
Wait, so he's not going to be on the ballot?
He's not going to be. I don't think he's going to be on the ballot.
Weird.
They are not entering the New Hampshire primary or the Iowa caucuses.
Huh.
So, and that's the deal he made with Clyburn. Remember that? Clyburn is the guy who made him president. If anybody gets the credit for Joe Biden or the blame, it ought to be Representative Clyburn out of mm-hmm. South Carolina, mm-hmm. because it was the South Carolina primary that boosted Joe Biden to the nomination last time. Clyburn takes all the credit for it. And, of course, the deal that Joe made was a black female appointed to the Supreme Court, a black female vice president. I mean, the deal he had to make to get all this done with Clyburn, and now, you know, they're going to skip New Hampshire, they're going to skip Iowa.
Yeah, that's an interesting decision. I didn't know that.
Mm. So I don't think Dean Phillips is going to get the nomination on the Democrat side.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah. Did we talk about RFK Jr. going independent?
I think we maybe mentioned it briefly.
So that looks like that's going to happen.
I think we talked about whether we think he's going to take more votes from the Democrat or from Biden or Trump, assuming it's those two, you know, getting the nomination. Mm-hmm. But so we did.
Third in line to the president now is Speaker of the House Mike Johnson. I mean, who?
Yeah.
We followed this stuff. Did you know who Mike Johnson was?
No idea.
Yeah. I mean, he looks like Clark Kent. He's got the glasses.
Here he is right here.
Yeah. I've seen he's got thicker glasses, like thicker rims in other pictures. And he looks like, there you go, the black rims.
Yeah.
He looks like Clark Kent, right?
Yeah.
Is he going to go into like a cloakroom and come out as Superman? I don't know. But it's interesting here because he is to the right of Kevin McCarthy. He is a very conservative congressman as you start to look at his record and peel the layers back. So it makes me wonder if the Democrats who helped to oust Kevin McCarthy are going to have any regret over this whatsoever.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know much about the guy. He got a lot of flack from many people, myself included, you know, when the first thing that he proposed as speaker was funding for Israel, you know, for like military funding, which I'm not in favor of. And it just, you know, and then there was another clip where he was potentially open to, you know, more funding for Ukraine and stuff like that. So we'll see. I mean, you know, his record is one thing, which I'm not familiar with because I don't really know the guy, but you know, once he actually is doing the job of speaker, is he going to be different or is he just going to kind of fall into the role and do the same old, same old?
Well, one of the things that he is asking President Biden to do is separate Ukraine from Israel. And I'm more hawkish on the Israel thing than you are, and I get that, because Israel's our ally and they were attacked by terrorists. So to me, that's a red line, and I want Israel to kill every damn one of those people. And if we can help, we probably ought to help. Ukraine, I'm a little more dubious about, and what the speaker is doing is he's asking the president, instead of putting this all in one $100 billion deal, let's separate these two things and talk about them as separate things, and we should. Something that has come up out of Speaker Johnson's past, he at one point advocated putting people in jail for committing homosexual acts. Have you heard that?
No, I'm looking it up right
now. Oh, yeah. That's kind of the big deal there. And then, of course, what they don't want to talk about is Joe Biden has his own history with homosexuality. Not that he is one. Not that there'd be anything wrong with that. But Joe Biden back in the day said that gays should not serve in the military, that it was a national security issue. I mean, he went that far. He voted for Bill Clinton's Don't Ask, Don't Tell. So he has his own issues in the past with the gay community. But they're bringing all that up against, you know, Mike Johnson, because anything that will stick or can stick, they're going to throw it up against the wall. That's what they do. That's what politics is all about, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, he's got a big job. There's no question about that. As we go into a voting cycle in 2024, where, I mean, I get from our last episode that you think this was no big deal, that this is a procedural thing and nobody gives a shit about it. And, you know, the Democrats are still going to say that we don't want women to have abortions. And we're going to take away your right to choose and whatever else they're going to paint us with. We're racist, we're bigots, we're homophobes, all that kind of stuff. But I think little stuff like this matters in purple districts where, you know, it goes back and forth. And it's like, I can see a Democrat going, my God, they couldn't even get a Speaker of the House. They had to go all the way, you know, down the line to somebody you've never even heard of before.
Yeah.
So we'll see if it does or doesn't. But I'm hoping they get their act together and that we don't remember this.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I'd be willing to bet that most people probably didn't hear of Kevin McCarthy either before he was Speaker. So
right. So we'll see what Mike Johnson, who looks like Clark Kent, can do as the Speaker of the House. I mentioned abortions. I don't know if you saw this or not, but in the year since the Dobbs decision, abortions are actually up year over year. And what's happening is, you know, this is democracy at work. You know, Kamala Harris did that interview thing, and she said she just kept coming back to the same talking point. We need to reinstate Roe because they want a blank check on abortion. They don't want the states to weigh in on it. They want the federal government to say it's okay, even though it's not in the Constitution. They found language that they somehow bent and molded to make it somewhat okay for a while until another decision came along and a Republican majority on the court, conservative majority on the court, was able to overturn it. But what's happening is, you know, Illinois, where it's legal and you know, they want to kill as many babies as they can, people from states like Indiana, my home state, that have made it a little more difficult.
Or Missouri,
they're flocking to the state that's on the other side of the border.
Yeah.
And that's democracy at work. They keep talking about they want democracy. Okay, the people in Illinois, basically fueled by a constituency in Chicago, are saying, you know, we want to kill as many babies as possible. Okay, you're pregnant. You want to get an abortion in Missouri or Indiana? Guess where you're going? You're going to Illinois.
Yeah, I mean, that just means that we need to crack down, you know, on Illinois too. But but you can see this map from CNN, which, you know, CNN, whatever, but it shows the change year over year. So you can see a lot of these states, like Texas, went down 36,970, but Illinois went up 21,500.
Right.
Florida went up 20,000.
I find that interesting that Florida went up, you know?
Yeah, I don't really know what the abortion policies are in Florida, but I guess they're a little bit more lenient if more people are going there.
We expect California to go up, for instance. So, I don't know. There's work to be done. But I think Illinois, that's misleading, you know, in terms of it all being purple all the way down to, you know, the southernmost part of Illinois, because it's coming out of Chicago. And if you really wanted to do something from a government perspective, you should make Chicago its own state. And I guarantee you the rest of Illinois is bright red.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's just the Dobbs thing was a step in the right direction, but we need to. This just shows that the work's not done. I mean, we need to continue to advocate for this and to eliminate abortion in every way that we can.
Advocating, you know, is the right way to look at it. I mean, you know, people are going to make their own decision in their own way within the constraints of the law. But you know, there's nothing wrong with us saying that personally, morally, we don't believe in it.
Well, there's also nothing wrong with us saying that we need to change the law, you know, to make it not
and
as
again,
easy.
And again, it's illegal. A democracy. If you get enough people who agree with you who vote that way, that's the way we're going to go.
Yep.
So global warming, climate change, we're in the 20s in Kansas City in October. What does that mean? I mean, does that mean that Joey B's electric car thing has tipped the scale and we're going into an ice age now? Is that what it means? Is that possible?
I don't know. I mean, they
is
kind
it just
of,
the weather?
They kind of do everything. Like any change in the weather, it's part of climate change. That's why they changed it from global warming to climate change, is because global warming, if it gets cold, then it can't be global warming. So they had to change it to climate change.
You're more of an outdoorsman than I am. I mean, the last time I camped, you know, was in Boy Scouts, right? And I said, you know what? I'm over the whole camping thing.
Yeah.
If I'm going to camp somewhere, it's probably going to be in a hotel that, you know, offers room service. So, I mean, it's a given that you're the more outdoorsy
person. Last time I camped was last weekend.
See, there you go. So I would ask you, what is more dangerous, hot weather or cold weather?
I prefer camping in cold weather because you can prepare for it. You can bring a warm sleeping bag. You can bring portable heaters if you need to.
I know, but my question was more if you're a homeless person or what?
Right.
Unhomed, cold. Is that the
cold,
word?
Cold is definitely more dangerous.
That's what I think.
Yeah.
You know, because you're going to freeze to death.
Yeah.
A little bit warmer weather, I mean, I don't see the problem. I mean, I know that there are people who listen to this podcast who hate what we stand for, and they're rolling their eyes. Oh, he just doesn't get it. He's a knuckle-dragging conservative. But, you know, the temperature's going to go up 1 degree on average. Mm-hmm. And that's if you buy into that whole global temperature thing, which I don't. Is the planet changing? We talk about this all the time. It's a 5 billion year old planet. Mm-hmm. And we are like, you know, we're a nanosecond in the history of this planet. And we will probably at some point vanish and something else will rise and take our place. And the planet will keep on spinning. Do we really have an impact on what's going on? Maybe a little?
Yeah, I mean, I think we maybe do. It's just people put too much emphasis on it and too much weight on it. And then it's all speculation that never comes true, you know. And that's why people are losing trust in these institutions and these people specifically, because they fly around the world on their private jets,
yeah,
you know, creating a bunch of emissions. They create, you know, hundreds of times more emissions than the average person. And then they speculate about things that haven't happened yet. And then the same people who are doing that speculation have also speculated about things in the past that didn't happen now. So it's kind of hard to believe them.
And then, you know, you plug in your electric car and in Missouri, it's fueled by coal. And, yeah, and you virtue signal that you're saving the planet when, in fact, you're probably doing more damage by what you're doing because you're driving something that's its own biohazard. And when these things start running into each other, we had Bob Jackaway on the podcast a while back, who is with Max Motors, and they've got dealerships all over town in every brand that you can imagine. And he talked about that it's going to be – you're going to need a hazmat crew when two of these things run into each other.
Yeah.
But you're saving the planet. Aren't you great?
I think the main thing that this proves is that – fall in the Midwest is just non-existent. It's like every single year that I've been here, it's hot and then it's cold. There's like nothing, you know. There's maybe like 1 week in between, yeah, where it's actually pleasant out, you know, like a nice fall weather. I mean, it is going to be nice this weekend, so maybe I'm wrong, but it does seem like it kind of goes from like very hot. You'll have a week that's like in the 80s, and then the next week it's in the 40s. You know, it's crazy.
Yeah. Well, if you don't like the weather in Missouri, I've heard it said a long time, you know, just wait and it's going to change, but it's going to be really, really cold before it gets...
Yeah, I mean, the weather's really nice in California. It's just all the other stuff in California that's not so nice. So.
By the way, still in the political realm here, I don't know if you saw Kamala Harris last night on 60 Minutes. Now I'm really worried that we're going to have boots on the ground in Israel. You know why I'm worried that we're going to have boots on the ground in Israel? Because she went on 60 Minutes last night and said there is no way that we'll have boots on the ground in Israel. And I've learned that with Kamala Harris, it's opposite day, you know, because she was in charge of the border. And she said the border is secure, and we know the border is not secure.
Yeah.
So I'm a little concerned.
I saw just playing like a clip without audio, but where was I yesterday? I was out somewhere. I forget where, but I saw that she was going to be on 60 Minutes, and I was like, oh, boy.
Yeah.
The least interesting piece of television ever.
Yeah. So watch Israel, because we may be sending troops, because the vice president said there's no way in the world that we'll be sending
troops.
Well,
that goes back to what I said last week, you know, about people saying, we're not going to get involved. We're already involved.
Yeah.
The entire military is funded by America. Their military, the Iron Dome, would not exist without American taxpayers. We already have carriers parked off the coast.
Right.
You know,
we're shooting down stuff.
So we're already involved. It's too late.
All right. Well, they're our allies, so that's where I'm going to leave that. I don't know if you've followed this or not, but the United Auto Workers strike appears to be over. Ford was first. They agreed to a 25% pay raise over 4 years. Stellantis was second, and breaking news, GM is now on board as well. So, and I'm for you guys who work at the Clay Como plant, at the Fairfax plant, making the GM cars. I'm for you guys. I want you to make as much money as you can. But let's be realistic about this. 25% pay raise over 4 years, and that doesn't include cost of living raises. So it's probably going to be even higher than that. Let's be real about where that money's coming from. It's not just conjured up out in the sand somewhere, right? It's going to go into the price of an automobile. That's the way business works. When prices go up, something else goes up, and the person who ends up paying the bill is the person who buys the product. That's simple economics, right?
Mm-hmm.
We would agree on that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, for the most part, there's, you know, maybe some nuance there, but that's typically how it works.
Well, when I get a raise at KFKF, and it didn't happen during the Wilkes broadcasting years. In fact, there were a lot of pay cuts in the Wilkes broadcasting years. But, you know, when my pay goes up, something else has to go up, or you have to cut something. That's the way business works.
You have to pay more to listen to the radio.
And I think exactly. And I think that there's this mentality out there that, oh, these corporations, they're billionaires and trillionaires. They haven't started saying trillionaires yet, but you know that's where it's headed. And they've got all this money in the vault, and they're just sitting on it because they're greedy bastards is what they are. And so you're getting it from them. No, you're not. Come on. Let's be real. When prices go up, something else goes up, and the end user is the person who pays the bill.
Yeah. And it, I mean, it's just like human. It goes back to human nature for me. Of course they're greedy. Everyone's greedy. You know, the people, the socialists are greedy. They're probably the most greedy people out there. They think they're entitled to something that they haven't earned. That's greed. You know, if you want to talk about greed, you have Bernie Sanders out there saying, greed is what's wrong with America. Now give me 90% of your income. You know, it's like, give me a break. Of course they're greedy. You know, people take advantage of the tax system. Every loophole that they can possibly take, they're going to take. I would do the same thing if I was in I was in their position. Dale, you would do the same thing. You watching would do the same thing. So if, you know, we can talk about that and we can find, you know, a way to navigate that and make it the most fair, which it's certainly not. I mean, there are improvements that can be made for sure. And, you know, capitalism is not like the highest ideal of conservative American politics by any means. But it's very just vague, like wishy-washy, eye in the sky BS, you know, when you just start talking about greed, yeah, corporate greed, and, you know, this and that. It's just it's totally disconnected from the problem.
And they, you know, give Donald Trump a lot of shit, and all he has done in his career is take advantage of laws that they passed.
Yeah.
And it's like somehow that makes him the bad guy.
Right.
And I don't get that at all.
And it's the same advantages that they took, you know, the same advantages that Nancy Pelosi has taken for her entire life, that in addition to all of, you know, the side deals that she's been doing, has made her many, many millions of dollars.
Right.
You know, everyone does it.
They got a lot of those folks in Congress who don't even make $200,000 a year, which may sound like a lot of money, but trust me, it's not, especially if you got to have a residence there and a residence in your district and all that. And somehow these people who have had careers where they've made less than 200 grand a year are multimillionaires.
Yeah.
How did that happen? I mean, I think that's a question that we ought to ask.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of them have book deals, they have speaking deals and stuff like that, and I guess that's where some of it comes from, but I don't know. I think it might be a good time to audit every person in Congress.
Yeah, the speaking deal thing alone is crazy. I mean, the speaking fees for some of these people, like Obama, I think is one of the highest ones. He gets like $100,000,
yeah,
per speech.
Well,
minimum.
Yeah. When Ronald Reagan left the presidency, he went on a speaking tour and he made a buttload of money.
Yeah,
because people wanted to hear from Ronald Reagan. I don't know that anybody is going to want to hear from Joe Biden, although it might be funny. I mean, maybe we could put it on YouTube.
I guarantee you, once he, you know, gets shuffled off to the old people home or whatever, when he's done being president, there will be people, you know, in positions of authority, the swampy organizations out there that will want to pay him big money to go ramble in front of a teleprompter.
Speaking of rambling in front of a teleprompter, that was kind of like my list for Politics American Style this week. Is there anything on your list?
No. I mean, it's another week, man. We're here.
All right. Well, let's get to Royal Roofing and Solar, because if you need a new roof on your house, these are the guys who can get it done. 816-540-7057. Not a fly-by-night roofing company. This is a Cass County family-owned company. I know them very well. They're very dear friends of mine. In fact, they did the roof at my house, and it's holding up just fine. In fact, over the weekend, I think we got about 18 inches of rain. It felt like it. It was like rain. And I went to all these second floor rooms, and there's no leaks. So they did a great job.
Nice.
And if you want to turn your home into its own power generation source, they can show you how to do that with solar at a time when energy rates are going through the roof. In fact, I have two heating and AC systems in my house. And I have a heat pump, which we put in years and years ago. And I had the folks come and make sure that it's okay before we went to heat mode. And they said, don't use your heat pump. It's going to cost you too much money. Use the emergency gas, because right now gas is cheaper than electricity. So, I mean, you got to figure out how to use things. Unless, of course, Royal Roofing and Solar gets those solar panels going for you, and you use the power of the sun to power your house. 816-540-7057 for Royal Roofing and Solar. Of course, we want to thank Jim Dingman for being part of the podcast. He is the man behind Funhouse Pizza in both Blue Springs and Lee Summit. 7 Highway in Blue Springs and in Lee Summit. He's on 50 Highway. We've been there to do our live podcast events, and I'm sure we're going to be doing one again. Blue Springs is probably going to be next, and there might even be an announcement regarding Blue Springs down the road. I can't tell you any more about that just yet. Stay tuned. There might be some interesting news coming out about Blue Springs. So Funhouse Pizza is the place to take your whatever team you've got. You have a team banquet. You always have a team banquet at the end of the season. Somebody's always got a birthday party. You can plan it. They'll take care of you with great pizza, cold drinks, and a fun atmosphere at Funhouse Pizza. And lastly here, we want to thank Bob Watson for being part of the program here. He is our local Blue Springs State Farm agent. We've talked a little about pet insurance. I had dinner at my wife's niece's house in Olathe over the weekend. She's not my niece, right? Because Jen's like my third wife.
Niece-in-law? I don't know how that works.
But they have a really nice home in Olathe, and they have beautiful dogs. And what kind of dogs do they have? Golden Retrievers, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, Golden Retrievers. And they've lost some to cancer. I guess that breed might be susceptible to cancer. Hmm. And Mike, her husband, told me, if we didn't have pet insurance, I don't know how we would have done it. So pet insurance is something that State Farm can now offer through Bob Watson. Everybody loves their animals, and you know they're going to face health bills. And unlike us who have health insurance, we should, it's the law, maybe your animal doesn't. Let Bob Watson talk to you about insuring your pets. 816-229-7878, 816-229-7878. Auto, home, life, pet insurance, commercial insurance, licensed in both Kansas and Missouri. Bob Watson will take care of your insurance needs. All right, Halloween's tomorrow.
Yes, it is.
Are you dressing up?
Or yesterday, if you're watching this podcast. Yeah.
Oh, so it posts on Wednesday, right?
Yeah.
That's why we're not in costume today.
Yeah.
So were you in costume?
Oh, yeah. I forgot. Maybe we should have done that, honestly. Yeah.
Be in costume?
Yeah. This is my costume. I am an office worker for Halloween.
Well, I'm wearing polar fleece because it's 20 freaking degrees, and I get cold easy. But I told them, you know, the management around here, they're on the liberal side. We can say that, right?
You don't say.
Yeah. So it's like, well, you want to be part of the team here, you should wear a Halloween costume. And I said, you know what? If I style my hair just right and wear a blue suit and a red tie and get a little rouge on my cheeks, I could go as Donald Trump.
Let's go.
You'd have to be the voice, though, because you do it better.
I'd have to be following you around all day. How would that go? You're going to have to pay me.
Donald Trump trick-or-treating. Let me hear that.
Okay. So, wait. Is he trick-or-treating, or is he the one giving out the candy?
Oh, no. Either way you want to play it. He's giving out the candy. Go ahead.
All right. So, ring the doorbell.
Ding, ding. Trick-or-treat.
Yes. Hello. You look so good. What kind of costume is that?
It's a Donald Trump costume.
Wow! Best president. We like this guy, don't we? Oh, yeah. You look so good.
Full-size candy bars for him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Probably has his name on it, too. It's like Donald Trump chocolate.
I'm sure. Why not? Exactly. He could buy Hershey, and it could be Trump. So I saw this on the wire, you know, speaking of Halloween. There are some parts of the country, and shockingly, mostly in California, where there are laws against being too scary on Halloween.
Yeah.
I'm not making this up. In Irvine, California, decorations that are deemed too scary can incur a $500 fee.
Wow.
Yeah. And legally in the U.S., of course, you could sue anybody for anything. A trick-or-treater can sue a homeowner for scaring them too much and causing emotional distress.
That's crazy. I've got one too, but I got to find it. There was a...
Well, in Phoenix, there are zoning laws that prohibit decorations that are too loud or too bright. And in Los Angeles, there are laws against turning your home into a haunted house.
Yeah, here we go. So this is from, where is this from? North Carolina, China Grove, North Carolina. There was a dead guy on the
I heard lawn, about this. Yeah.
And the groundskeeper mowed around his body
because
he thought that it was a Halloween prop.
Yeah. I will tell you, because I love Halloween.
That is crazy.
I love Halloween. In fact, if you're getting this on Wednesday, which is probably the case, you will have missed my Halloween spooktacular on KFKF. It's one of my top five favorite shows of the year. It's all Halloween with country songs that fit the theme and all of the fun parody stuff that I do throughout the year. But when we were in the front of the building here at 508 Westport, we used to do like decorate the entire space, and it was a lot of fun. And there was one hallway where they hung some things that looked like bodies that were hanging along the wall, right? Mm. And you know, I get here first in the morning, and we had a Vietnamese cleaning crew, and they didn't speak English, right? But when I got here, the main guy was in my office, and he was like white as a ghost, and he was like, you know, he's like motioning me to come with him. I can't understand a word he's saying. And I follow him down the hall, and we get to that place where it looked like there were like five bodies hanging down the hall. And I said, no. Halloween. And, you know, I was doing what Americans do, right?
Yeah, enunciating very slowly.
Very slowly. Halloween. Yeah, I think he got it at some level, but anyway. There you go.
I guess they don't have Halloween in Vietnam.
No, they don't. And I almost said something that would be taken the wrong way there, and I'm not going to do it. You're not going to have tape on that this week. Maybe next week. Until next week, this is Dale Carter's America.
The views expressed on Dale Carter's America are Dale's and Kurt Wheeler's. They do not necessarily reflect the views of KFKF or Steel City Media. Comments can be sent to DaleCartersAmerica@gmail.com. Check back for weekly episodes. Subscribe, spread the word, and give us a 5-star review. Thanks for being a part of Dale Carter's America.